Okay, I'll be reading Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. It is in, I don't know what page it's in. I had it written down here. It's my phone. I don't know what's going on. Okay, 792, thank you. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. He then put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same.
Not quite large enough there for my water bottle. Well, good morning again. It's good to be with you this morning. We will focus a bit more on Luke 10 a little later, but I'd like to just introduce myself to you. As many of you know, I'm now the director of Mennonite Central Committee here in Alberta. And I'm based in Calgary. It's been almost a year since I've been in that role, and I think many of you will be familiar with the name Abe Jansen, and he's still working with us at MCC. My wife Jen and I have been in Calgary for about 3 years, and I've been with MCC for that entire time. I grew up in the Annapolis Valley, Nova Scotia. It's a very small area. My first home was right next to the Bay of Fundy. Grew up on a hobby farm with cows, goats, chickens, and my dad said, you know, he wanted us kids to know how to be close to the land. I grew up in the Baptist church community. There aren't many Mennonites in the East. There are some. There's some Kleingemeinde in Nova Scotia. There are some MB churches, one in Petitcodiac, but not many Mennonites. I was fortunate, though, to have a Mennonite sociology professor when I studied in Moncton, New Brunswick, by the name of Sam Reimer. Some of you may know that name. A good friend of mine now. I attend Foothills Mennonite Church in Calgary, and just to give you a little bit of a sense of who I am and where I come from. I've met many in Alberta who I think view MCC as a door with a window to the world. Some walk through to the other side of that door, and some peer through the window. MCC bridges communities in Alberta with communities all over the world in about 55 countries with families and individuals working to make the world a better place. After speaking recently in Highland Mennonite Brethren Church in Calgary, one individual thanked me for sharing about the ministry of MCC, and he called it a glimpse of the other part of the story. Last year, I read Anabaptist Essentials by Palmer Becker. If you haven't read the book, I'd recommend it. Becker details what he considers to be the core tenets of the Anabaptist Mennonite faith, and he expands on three main ideas. I'll go through them briefly. Number one, he says, Jesus is the center of our faith. And as you read through the chapter, you begin to get a sense of what he means by that. His life, Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and his ministry. Jesus as Lord, the one who leads us, as Savior, the one who saves us from sin and death. And Jesus as the central lens through which we understand the very character and nature of God and through which we interpret the scriptures. Number two, community is the center of our lives, shaping and challenging and encouraging us as we live life together. And number three, reconciliation is the center of our work. This shalom-building, peace-building work that Jesus invites us into with flourishing relationships between God and us, among all people, and between God's creatures, his children, and the rest of creation. Isaiah's vision where the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. For me, these three pillars are helpful to guide the life of discipleship that Jesus calls us into. The foundation of MCC, Mennonite Central Committee, beginning nearly 100 years ago, 2020 marks the 100-year anniversary, is this Anabaptist Mennonite tradition that sees Jesus at the center. This is the spirit through which we do our relief, development, and peace-building work in the name of Christ. MCC seeks to share God's love and compassion for all in the name of Christ by responding to basic human needs and working for peace and justice. Now in more than 50 countries with many, many people, we do work like food security and livelihoods, water and hygiene so communities can have clean water to drink, education so children can have the opportunity to reach their full potential, peace clubs and conflict resolution training to help maintain healthy relationships and reduce the threat of violence worldwide, and material aid for communities facing natural disasters who otherwise would not receive the basic necessities of life. In Alberta, we support refugee sponsorship. And in fact, MCC was the first to sign with the Canadian government to do private sponsorship of refugees. Canada is the only country in the world who has such a program. And I believe this church has been involved in refugee sponsorship as well. I was here very recently with Father Lucas to visit the family that was sponsored through this church. My first time in Linden, actually, with Father Lucas. My first time in Linden with a Syrian. That was great. Restorative justice is also what we do here in Alberta with ex-offenders to reduce the rate of reoffense and create healthy communities and healthy integration. Education on Canada's Indigenous history is part of the truth and reconciliation response. Mennonites owning our history. Peace-building training with young people, collecting material resources for distribution around the world, and much, much more. In doing this work, MCC envisions communities worldwide in right relationship with God, with one another, and with all of creation. We talk about that as shalom. As Jesus said when teaching his disciples to pray on earth as it is in heaven. We heard this morning from Luke 10 when the expert in the law, the lawyer, asks Jesus, what must he do to inherit eternal life? It's a good question. We all have that question. Jesus gives him and us the greatest commandment when he says, what do you see in the law? What's written there? And of course, the lawyer goes back to Deuteronomy and he quotes, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But who is our neighbor and what does it mean to show them love? The lawyer asks Jesus to define his neighbor, and though it seems he really wants Jesus to draw some boundaries around who exactly is it that he is to love, perhaps he wanted permission to treat certain people in a less than kind of manner. Who are our neighbors, the expert asks. And unsurprisingly, in keeping with God's vast love for all of creation, the answer is everyone. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite passed by the naked, beaten man. The Samaritan stopped and he took care of the physical needs of the stranger. The man was naked and half dead, likely unconscious. And that's intentional in the story. We don't know much about that man. We don't know the social class, the status, the ethnicity, religion. The man is unidentifiable. Luke's man becomes every man, woman, and child made in the image and likeness of God, amplifying to the lawyer, to those listening, that everyone is made in God's image. So if everyone is our neighbor, made in God's own image, how do we love our neighbors? What defines neighborliness? Who was a neighbor to this man, Jesus asks. The one who had mercy on him was the response. The lawyer could not even bring himself to say Samaritan. The one who had mercy on him. And then Jesus says, as we heard this morning, go and do likewise. Go and do as you have seen done in this story. Mercy and compassion is the proof of loving one's neighbor. MCC began nearly 100 years ago with many different Anabaptist Mennonite groups coming together, not necessarily sharing identical theology, but sharing a concern for how do we love our neighbor in the world? How do we come together and do some good? Taking seriously God's desire for his people to be good neighbors, to help those who need help, to work with those around the world who also want to be good neighbors. That is MCC. So I'd like to share a few stories from different parts of MCC around the world, stories of neighbors helping neighbors. The church globally is at the forefront of this mission with physical, emotional, and spiritual help and support all over the world today. Some of the stories of situations where neighbors are not very neighborly at all. And we'll hear some of that this morning. But all of these stories, I hope, echo the importance of recognizing the image of God in every person and also display the importance of acts of mercy and compassion. So if we go to the first slide here, come with me to Uganda. Uganda in East Africa is about one-third the size of Alberta, but much more densely populated with 195 people per square kilometer. Alberta has 6 people per square kilometer. Canada has 4. So you can get a little bit of a sense. Aside from being a very small country with over 41 million people, Uganda borders the Democratic Republic of Congo and South Sudan. And the internal conflicts in both of these countries affect Uganda. Paul Collier, economist and author of The Bottom Billion, might describe Uganda's situation as being landlocked with bad neighbors. Quite recently, the refugee camp in Bidi Bidi, Uganda, in the north, surpassed the population of Dadaab, Kenya, which is once the largest refugee camp in the world. And now, today, Cox's Bazar in Bangladesh is the largest camp in the world. Until about 10 years ago, the Lord's Resistance Army, under Joseph Kony, a rebel military group, operated in northern Uganda and abducted many young children into their military activity. These children were soldiers. Many of the young girls were forced to wed. Here is Sister Sophia in the blue. She's the headmistress of Stella Matutina Girls Secondary School in Uganda. And when I visited back in July, she gave a message to me, but I believe the message is more for all of those who have a heart for the work of MCC and our partners worldwide. She said this, I want to thank all of those Mennonite members who support those who are not able to support themselves, because for the past 17 years since the school started, we have moved with the Mennonites and they have been a great help to us. It's not easy to help a person, but what I've learned with the Mennonites is that they have a heart for humanity. And that is a heart for God. She said it's a heart for helping those who are in need. Sister Sophia says this about us Mennonites, but I would say the same of Sister Sophia, who together with others began this school to receive girls leaving the LRA in northern Uganda, and that is a heart for God. Go to the next slide here. In northern Uganda, we also visited a project called Action for Peace and Development. Bishop Sam of the Baptist Church is coordinating this in the Soroti district. During the Lord's Resistance Army conflict, civilians were put into camps in northern Uganda as a form of protection by the government. When the fighting ended, people returned home, but they returned with trauma and lacking the skills necessary after 10 years of being in camps. How do they farm? How do they raise their children? How do they live? So Bishop Sam and the church community is helping youth learn how to bud trees and sell those trees in the markets. They're raising pigs and goats to feed their families, but with a clear intent to be able to raise more than they actually need so that they can sell them in the markets. And Bishop Sam, when I was speaking with him about this, he said, you know, when people have a little bit of food and a little bit of money in their pockets, he said, they forget to become rebels. He said, they forget to be violent. Going to the next slide here. A few years ago, I traveled with a group to the borderlands, the Mexico-US border. We met migrants, people on the move. Many trek through the Sonora Desert out of sheer desperation, but also many do not make the journey. People from Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, even people from Syria and Congo are traveling that route. We traveled into the desert with an organization that leaves water for peoples on the move. Water, a basic need. Everybody needs water. But others go into the desert and they poke holes in the containers and the water drains into the floor of this dry, dry desert. So volunteers go out daily to check to make sure that the water stays in these containers. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. One young man, about 17 or so, called Emilian from El Salvador, spoke of his journey leaving his mother and father and siblings to go north. Why? He talked of gang violence and threats and fear and instability. Emilian decided to leave to find a better life. But that's not just Emilian's story. That's the story of many people leaving to find a better life for their family. That's the story, that's the incarnation story of MCC 100 years ago. Many have little choice at all with more than 68 million displaced people worldwide today. Walls and barriers create fear of the other. Jesus built the bridge between us and God the Father, showing us the true nature of God. Jesus promoted building bridges of understanding and unity among all people, Jews and Samaritans, men and women, rich and poor, bringing people together instead of pulling people apart. If we go to the next slide here. In the border town of Douglas, Arizona, Jack and Linda Knox, they're not in the photo here, but they offer a welcoming place in a land where fear of the other tends to dominate the minds of many. I visited the borderlands and Jack and Linda's home a few different times, and on my last visit, we went out one morning to pray at the border with our hands on the 20-foot-tall steel wall, and we offered prayers for peace and unity and cooperation and the Holy Spirit to move in that place. The wall currently covers over 900 kilometers of the 3,200-kilometer border. On one occasion, Jack shared what I've come to understand as their deep-seated motivation for living on the borderlands. He said, you know, Thomas, the opposite of violence is not nonviolence. He said, it's hospitality. Hospitality. God's desire for us to love our neighbors, including strangers, and yes, even enemies, is woven throughout the Old and the New Testaments, and the impulse of hospitality is clearly embedded in the fabric of Mennonite and other like-minded churches, and thus in MCC. We can go now to the next slide here. This beautiful place is the back of the Laji Center in Ida camp near Bethlehem, a community of about 5,000 Palestinians. Ida camp formed during the 1948 war when 27 different communities were forced to flee to this place. MCC partners with the Laji Center. Laji means refugee in Arabic. While I was visiting the MCC, a worker told me about a summer camp for children that had been growing over the past few years, and he said they had between 200 and 160 kids come to this summer camp last summer, and I was curious about the range, so I asked, and he said, you know, 200 children showed up on day one, but they were tear gassed by the military, and so less returned for day two. Ida is known as one of the most, if not the most, tear gassed places in the world, with the military running drills in this community frequently. The Laji Center is crucial for the development of these young children living in this camp. Go to the next slide here. Going back now to Uganda, we drove up to David's home. David is in the blue. He's the chairperson of an HIV support group. And you can imagine the scene, bringing your van into a community. There were probably 50, 60 people dancing. What a terrifying scene for a Mennonite to enter into, right? I grew up Baptist, so I can move a little bit. A scene of rejoicing. Many in this group are HIV positive, but they've been able to receive what's called an ARV, an antiretroviral drug, to extend their life, to basically make it so that they can live long and happy and healthy lives without worrying about their deteriorating immune system. MCC's partners help to support this group. They rely on their local community heavily. And at one point during their visit, they did a skit where one woman had a baby in her hands, and she declared that she was HIV positive, but the baby was HIV free. And I thought it was just part of the skit, but they told us later that, yes, HIV is transmitted from mother to child often, but that baby truly is HIV free. We weep with those who weep, but we rejoice with those who rejoice as well. To the next slide here. Through our partner churches and organizations, MCC is helping more than 43,000 children in about 40 countries around the world gain an access to education. On one school in northern Uganda, there's a sign etched in the wall that says, "Education is an investment." It's an investment in the lives of children and their families, and the impact spreads far beyond any one individual, but for that individual, it is hope. It means hope in a future that otherwise would not be possible. This group of students here, part of a peace club in Uganda, greeted us Canadians with lively song, clapping, and moving to the rhythm. And they sang a song, and I'll tell you the lyrics. I won't sing them for you today. But the lyrics went something like, "My name is George, my name is Esther, I'm going to be a teacher, a pilot, a doctor, because my parents sent me to school, because my parents sent me to school." This is hope. 13-year-old Sharon in Uganda is never far from my mind when I'm thinking about MCC's education work. The headmistress introduced me to Sharon. Sharon was very shy, very quiet, spoke very, very little in her mother tongue. I learned that Sharon's parents both passed away with HIV. She now lives with her aunt, but her aunt is unable to work. And so the only way that Sharon is gaining an education is through the support of MCC and the partner. And the headmistress beamed as she said that Sharon is the top of her class in our school. Hope. Outside of Sirota, Uganda, we visited James. The next slide here. Beside him is Catherine from the Church of Uganda Development Office. She translated as James told his story. James's father, Vincent, stood beside as we listened intently. A kind of a circle of community members were around us as well. When James was growing up, he was a boxer, and he used to terrorize the community. He, in fact, said, "The community hated me," and everybody in the circle was kind of nodding in agreement as yes, we really did hate him. And at some point, I mean, he was involved in this gang life. He had no food, no home. He decided to go to church and to Bible study. I'm not sure what the story was or what transpired for him to get to that point, but that's what he did. And he decided after doing that to leave the gang life behind. His father was into agriculture, and his father reluctantly gave a little piece of land to his son, and he raised some chickens and proved to his father, Vincent, that he was able to take this seriously, and more land was given. And now the gang is dissolved. Many of those young men are participating in this agriculture work in northern Uganda. And that's the story of James. It was really interesting hearing that story as Vincent was listening, thinking about the impact that that would have on him as a father. It reminded me a bit of the prodigal son story. They said, when there is a funeral, this group contributes financially, and that's how you know that they are now pillars in the community. A transformation for James and for the community. Going now to Father Lucas, who some of you will know. This is the last story I'll share, and then I'll wrap up here. Father Lucas Awad, a Syrian Orthodox priest and a good friend of MCC Alberta, he visited us a few months ago. He spoke of the current realities in Syria. The war is in its eighth year, and there is still much suffering. He described the shelling, the fighting, the displacement, and he also spoke of the church's resolve to support the vulnerable with very little resources. MCC continues to work closely with the Syrian Orthodox Church and the Middle East Council of Churches to do the relief and development work that is happening in Syria. One of Father Lucas's final words to MCC staff in Calgary was, Jesus is hope, but not by himself, but through the people. And I thought about that a little bit, and of course, Jesus is hope by himself. Jesus is the hope beyond hope, but his words struck me, and I thought about what he was saying as someone coming out of Syria, someone communicating to a group of Canadians, and in light of what we see as the greatest commandment, Jesus is hope, but not by himself, but through the people. And I translated his words as something like, let the love of God pour out in hospitality toward your neighbor. That's how they will see hope. That's how they will see Jesus. Friends, strangers, and foreigners. Reflecting on these stories of individuals and communities working to improve the world, we see the church shedding truth of God's love for neighbors in their own contexts, in their own ways. These examples remind me of Jesus' call for us to recognize the image of God in every person and to show compassion, to show mercy. And we can learn much more from the story in Luke 10. Jesus made the Samaritan the hero, which was unheard of in that time, highlighting the tensions between Jews and Samaritans of the day, breaking down the cultural barriers that existed. The Samaritan in Luke 10 was not afraid to get involved. He ignored the racism of the day. He was generous. He had money. In telling this story, Jesus blurred the social norms of the day to move toward a greater place of love of God and love of neighbor. The heart of God is a heart for humanity, as Sister Sophia reminds us from Uganda. In Matthew 25, Jesus says in my paraphrased version, I was a hungry, thirsty stranger, naked, sick, and in prison. You gave me food, water, and you welcomed me. You gave me clothing, cared for me, and visited me while I was in prison. And we will ask, Lord, when did we do these things? And the answer will be, whenever you did to the least of these, to those who are in need, you did for me. This is God's heart for the naked, beaten man in Luke 10. For our brothers and sisters in Mexico and Palestine and Israel and Uganda and Syria and for our neighbor right next door, even our neighbors that let oak leaves come onto our lawn. I'll end this morning by sharing a very short reflection from a book called Reflections in the Galilee. When I visited the Mount of Beatitudes, where Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, our group walked to the top near the church and reflected on the words of Archbishop Elias Shakur. And here's an excerpt. He says, knowing Aramaic, the language of Jesus, has greatly enriched my understanding of Jesus' teachings. Because the Bible as we know it is a translation of a translation, he says we sometimes get the wrong impression. For example, we are accustomed to hearing the Beatitudes expressed passively. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. And he says, when I understand Jesus' words in the Aramaic, I translate more like this. Get up, go ahead, do something, move. You who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for you shall be satisfied. Get up, go ahead, do something, move. You peacemakers, for you shall be called children of God. Jesus invites us to actively follow him into the fullness of life on earth as it is in heaven. The lawyer asked, what is the way to inherit eternal life? And the question was posed back, and he gave the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. May we go and do likewise. Amen.
You're welcome to stand with us. just pray that you would bless everybody today. I pray that we would be sent out and you would send us with your Spirit, and that we would just move in this community. In your name we pray. Amen.